I guess you took me to Suplex City in Madison Square Garden, didn't you, Brock? Whoa, what a trip! What a match! What a fight! The Beast versus the Giant. I was that close, Brock. I was that close to wiping that grin right off your face. Hey, because I'm the bigger man, I'm gonna call it like it is, Brock. You're the Beast. You're a man among boys. I'll put my hand out right now and say you're the man. You know, must be nice to be as arrogant as you are. You know, Brock, I hope you face The Undertaker and I hope you lose. Again.
Episode 57 of The Second Shift is here, and what a week it's been. We've had WWE's live show in Madison Square Garden, we've had Bound for Glory, and we're all set for NXT TakeOver Respect tonight. And that's not all, we've got news of our own too. But before we get into any of that, let's take a look at the panel we've got on this week. He's getting all set for his new job in radio. Let's face it, we don't want to see him on TV, it's Kai.
How are you doing, pal?
I'm alright, how are you?
I'm doing very well, yeah. Really glad to be back on the show. As you know, I've been, this is my fifth week in a row now. I'm on a bit of a roll here.
Well, that'll have to fall off soon. We'll see how it goes. And secondly, a man who's also familiar with the world of radio, but would rather be hanging out at the disco, it's Kiwi Tuts.
Oi, oi, yes, avaloy. Yes, hello. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whenever you listen to it. Well, for us, good evening. How are you both? Are all well?
Yeah, I'm good. And Kai, you good too?
Yeah, I'm good too. Yeah, really good.
We've got quite a bit to get into tonight, so we're going to try and kind of fire through things as quick as possible because time is tight on our recording schedule tonight. So before we get into the regular segments of the show, we've got a couple of bits of news to address here on this second shift. First of all, we'd like to extend a huge congratulations to Ant. He became a dad today for the second time, and as he announced the birth of his son, Jarvis.
Woo! Congratulations!
Yeah, as he weighed in at a hefty 9 pounds, 6 ounces. That's a decent-sized baby. Congratulations, Ant. We wish you and the family all the best and look forward to when Jarvis joins us on the panel.
I feel sorry for Amy, though, poor girl.
That selfie that he sent, he did earlier. Oh, my God, that made me laugh so much.
I would have killed him if I was there.
Did you see her reply? It broke the Walker rules.
It did break the Walker rules.
Oh dear.
Right, we'll let you all go check that one out.
Also in our news, there's some changes afoot in the DSJMP network. As of the 1st of November, there's a change of boss, a new sheriff in town, so to speak, as I take over running the DSJMP network.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I really want to take this time to thank Devil Vamp, first of all, but also Wayne and Dan for affording me this opportunity. I want to say thanks for all the hard work that's been put in so far to get things where they are today, and I look forward to seeing what the future holds here in the world of DSJMP. The guys will be putting their focus on Cerebral Satire from now on, so we want to wish them the very best of luck with that, and to find out more, do visit CerebralSatire.com. Now guys, anything else to add to that before we get on with the show itself?
Nope.
Good. But let's just get straight into it, and Kai, get your news at the ready.
Okay.
And now, the Supersonic Second Shift News! Hello and welcome to this week's Supersonic Second Shift News. WWE loses the trademark for the name Hornswoggle. That's a shame, as the name was held in very high regard. Carlito's first offer from WWE was said to be a lowball. You can hear Alberto Del Rio screaming out racism all the way from Mexico. Chris Jericho celebrates his 25 years in professional wrestling with a loss to Kevin Owens, laying down like a true professional. Matt Hardy has been forced to vacate his newly won world title due to a fucking stupid storyline that I'm not even going to give you time to explain. And Lita is working backstage full-time as part of WWE Creative. I see only good things coming out of this. In other Diva news, Total Diva and former Tough Enough finalist Amanda gets the name Mandy for WWE television. Reminds me of an old woman who used to do the washing up at my grandparents' senior citizens club. It's not to my liking. Eva Marie won't be a part of TakeOver this week as she's in Paris filming for Total Divas. Oh, that's such a shame. And this week's Dick of the Week goes to CM Punk. Due to work and uni, I had no time to create a rant as long and detailed as my one on Sunny last week. But Punk, as much as I loved you a part of the WWE, I hate the bitter man that you're becoming. Your comments about WWE's work with a good cause this week came off as sour and peevish. I'm sorry, Kata, but as of this week, CM Punk, you are a dick. And that's all for this week's Supersonic Second Shift News.
Well done, Kai.
Yeah, it actually sounded a little bit like you were having to fight your way through that a little bit this week.
Yeah, I don't know, my throat just went really funny in the middle of that.
but yes, like a few, they are what they are stories in there.
You know what, I went back and looked over the news, and I didn't think, last week I had so much news to talk about, this week there wasn't much, to be quite honest with you. I mean, is there any of those that either of you two pick up on?
I was going to say, we'll be coming back to Matt Hardy, I'm sure, when we start chatting about Bound for Glory a bit later on, so we'll not go into that one for now. CM Punk, why? Why does he have to keep going? Just let it go. You've moved on. Move on.
Yeah, he's claimed since that it was nothing to do with wrestling. It was just a slagging off of the Susan G. Coleman thing. It just so happened that John Cena had, 12 cancer survivors in the ring at the time that he sent the tweet, and that's one big, huge coincidence. So, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's. It's hard to defend that, isn't it, really?
Exactly. It's totally unbelievable, to be honest. And, yeah, it's just proven himself to be a bit of a dick.
Exactly. Lita, working backstage at WWE Creative. Have either of you two heard about this?
I hadn't heard that one yet. No, that's a good one. No, I like that.
It was in the news last night, I believe I saw it. It seems that she's taking a bigger role in WWE Creative, and they think that she's going to be helping out the Divas. So, if it really does just take someone who has that experience to help them, get to where they need to be, I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely. And obviously it's a matter of time before we see the fruits of our labour when it comes to that. So we'd kind of be a little bit patient, let that kick in, and I'm sure it'll work out all good in the end. But yeah, I think that's about it for the news stories this week for chatting about.
Yep.
Can I just say about CM Punk?
Of course you can. Of course you can.
I was wondering if you...
It's not like you hold back. It's not like you hold back. Just get in there.
Are you trying to say I interrupt you all the time?
No, not at all. I actually think you're an opinionated person when the time comes.
Thank you, Ian. But seriously, I mean, we don't know, at least as British folk, know the ins and outs of the Susan G. Coleman charity, okay? So he may have some type of evidence knowing that he's worked with the people that we don't know. But for the good that it actually does in creating awareness of breast cancer, in females predominantly, but it does affect the gentlemen too.
Yeah,
there is no need to be bitter on Twitter and have a rant. And doing everything that he says is bad about Twitter, he's doing it himself.
Yeah,
but I mean, because he goes on about all these trolls going after him, but he's trolling Susan G. Coleman and all of the WWE fans who are supporting this, and like Kai and Wayne and many other people on social network, and changing their profile pictures, etc. There's just no need for it. There's no need for it, and it's disgusting to me.
No, just to get my head straight on what the story is, he's basically saying that as a cancer charity, Susan G. Coleman aren't very good. They're more of a business than a charity, and therefore they may not be using the money as effectively as other charities are. Is that right? Is that his claim?
That's correct.
That seems to be, yeah.
To me, you know, obviously I can't say the ins and outs of the inner workings of Susan G. Coleman, but it certainly seems to be the case that they do put a lot of money into research, into prevention and finding the cure for cancer. And
if there wasn't something there, the WWE wouldn't have been, a huge corporation like the WWE wouldn't have been supporting them for the past 4 years.
Well, what I was about to say is sometimes for a charity that big that's trying to get the footprint that they've got and to make the difference they've got to work effectively as a business to be able to ensure, one, maximised promotion and marketing of who they are so that they can then maximise and turn around as much money towards the research that they need to do. So they kind of do have to work as a business to be able to make that change. So yes. Really, his issue is them trying to effectively maximise how much money they generate for the fund, and then, therefore, his arguments are pile of shite.
Yeah.
Love that ending. His arguments are a pile of shite.
What accent was that?
Oh, God, I have this thing where I'll travel the world when I go on accents. Start off in Scotland, end up somewhere in the Middle East.
Yeah, well, okay, this is coming from the guy who does acting, but there you go.
Oh.
Anyway, anything else in the news then, Kiwi, before we move on that you want to touch on?
No, I really want to talk about Matt Hardy, but we'll get to that when we go.
Oh, we shall. There's a few things I'm bound for glory that I'm going to be bringing up. Yes. But we'll get there in due course.
You're listening to The Second Shift, the best podcast in the world. Grado's favourite, everybody's favourite, it's yourself.
So let's start talking first of all, though, about the WWE live event at Madison Square Gardens that happened on Saturday. A 2.5-hour show, quite a respectable card considering it's really a house show. And before we go into the matches, Kiwi first, what did you think of the show overall?
The show overall was very polished, professional. I really enjoyed the fact that Rich Brennan was on the commentating booth rather than Michael Cole, giving him some time off, I'm sure. And it worked really well, I thought, because Rich, to me, he's the best announcer in the WWE. That's probably quite controversial, but I feel like even though he is Cole 2.0, he just calls the match like it should be. The storyline, and not only that, he calls the moves too as they should be. So he's the complete package for me. So I really like that. The stage area was wonderful. I loved it. It reminded me of a very retro In Your House sort of look to it. But
they've moved the entranceway for MSG though, haven't they? Because it used to be kind of in that little tucked in doorway that they used to use.
Yeah, right in the middle. But yeah, since they've had the revamp, they've moved it to like where the majority of arenas have gone.
Yeah.
Which I feel like, sort of, it's a bit of a shame that they've had to move it because of the because I quite like that little entrance way that they had with the flipping doors, backwards and forwards, that they had previously. So yeah, that was a bit of a shame, but I thought the entrance way and this arena looked wonderful. Okay, the matches were what to be expected, really. I expected Big Show and Lesnar to probably go on for an extra 5 minutes, but I was surprised how quick it worked. But you know, it was what it was. Everybody got their moves in, and everybody went happy. And I think probably the best match of the night was probably Jericho and Owens, I think.
Kai, what were your thoughts overall?
Well, overall, I enjoyed it. It was, I've always wanted, we were saying this last week, they've been doing these super shows for so long at MSG, and us fans that weren't in attendance have never been able to see them. So it's great to see these super shows, and being taken into these live events. Was it, the 5 star matches? No, but it was enjoyable for what it was, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, there was a couple of wee things that I had little niggles with, particularly the status of Chris Jericho on that show. A little bit confusing the way he's been played, but that's fine. We can tuck that one under the rug for now. But overall, I really enjoyed the show. I felt the 2.5 hours went quite quickly. I didn't feel like it dragged, unlike Sunday night. We'll come back to that.
It's coming.
But what I did like about the stage direct is they didn't go normal big with it. They still tried to keep it quite modest, so at least had a bit of an affinity to what they're used to having in MSG. So I quite liked what they did with the staging area as well, so it was quite good. Good show overall, I thought. And if I was to give it a kind of overall rating, I'd probably give it a good 7, 7.5. No 8s or 9s on that one.
Yeah,
Ian. On you go.
If you had to compare it to the one in Tokyo, I think the Tokyo one would have sort of like one hands down.
But. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay, so let's just get into the matches, and we'll start with the match that we had two separate matches when we chatted about this last week, but it turned into a tag team match. We originally thought we were getting Randy Orton and Sheamus, versus Sheamus, and Dolph Ziggler versus Rusev, but it became Randy and Dolph versus Sheamus and Rusev in a tag team match. So technically, our picks don't count for jack shit, but...
Typical.
I will say, though, looking at this very briefly, that Kai and Wayne both picked Orton and Ziggler, so technically they were right.
Yeah, technically. we were right. Come on.
Damn.
Oh, dear. But yeah, what did you think of the match, Kai?
I enjoyed it. I was ready to skip through it when, you know, I saw Randy Orton coming out and Sheamus. But when I realised it was going to be a tag team match, yeah. I was, you know, I sat and watched it. I don't think I paid too much attention to it at the beginning, but it was more enjoyable than I thought it was going to be. So, yeah.
And what about you, Kiwi?
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same, actually. I wasn't expecting there to be a tag team match, as we knew there was going to be all singles matches, or I don't think Ziggler or Rusev were announced for a match anyway, but I was happy to see it, and yeah, it was relatively enjoyable. Nothing really much else to say about it.
You must have known Ziggler was announced for a match because you told me he was going to win his.
Oh, God, I did, didn't I? Oh, dear. Now, that's 6 o'clock getting up in the morning for you. I'm afraid.
Yeah. We'll let you off. But yeah, I thought it was a reasonable match, and changing it to a tag team match was a good move. It freshened it up a little bit from what we were worried we were going to get in both matches, and I think the reason they did that was for that very reason. So good move by the WWE in that case. And so let's go to the next match, which we didn't pick because it wasn't announced in advance. Not early enough for us to have on this show. Neville against Stardust, with Neville taking the win. Now, obviously, at the latest in a little series of matches from these two, Kiwi, I'll let you chat first on it.
I thought it was really good and serviceable, and I feel like the pair of them really do put on a fantastic match when it's needed, particularly on a big stage like that. And is that a house show? 9 times out of 10, the face will win. Fair enough. And Neville looked good, and Stardust looked good too. I feel really quite sad that Stardust seems to be lacking from an audience perspective, where he doesn't seem to elicit a response much. I don't know how long this Stardust gimmick is going to continue. I would like to think it would continue and evolve into the wonderfulness as like Goldust came into, but because Goldust had this attitude era. Yeah. To sort of help him back up and do all the things that he did. Obviously, he could evolve his character into all sorts of different things, where I don't think Stardust can necessarily do that in this day and age. Okay. So from that perspective, we'll have to see where that comes from. But again, a very enjoyable match nonetheless.
Yeah, I totally get your point. I mean, what I love about Stardust particularly is how Cody Rhodes has gone all in with this, and he continues to stay in character every single time he's in that costume. You never see him drifting or dropping character at any point. He's always twitching or jumping or throwing himself around, whatever he's doing at any given time. So I really like what he does with the character. Kai, your thoughts on the match?
Was it the greatest match ever? No, but... it was, you know, I've never seen these two have a bad match together. I've never walked away from a Stardust versus Neville match over the past few months and gone, that was a bad match, even with the Stephen Amell thing at SummerSlam. So yeah. that is the essence of what this show is. Was it amazing? No, but it was. There was no bad match.
No, I didn't think it was a bad match. I thought it was quite easy to watch, quite enjoyable in that respect. And that's... really, for a house show, that's more than you can expect. You know, it wasn't a throwaway match at all. It was certainly worth watching, so I'm all good with that one. Let's go on to another match that we didn't have last week when we chatted. Team Bella, Nikki, Brie, and Alicia Fox against PCB, Paige, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch. I'll come to you on this one, Kai. First of all, 6 Diva Tag Team match.
I seem to be on repeat because I'm saying I enjoyed it, yeah. I did enjoy it, but it wasn't the greatest match ever, but I enjoyed it.
What about the, obviously, the ongoing issues with PCB on that match? Does it make sense to you the way they played it out?
It was a bit weird seeing it being the faces that did the whole jumping away thing. So it's a bit, you know, that's a bit strange, but that's because I've been programmed into thinking that that's how faces shouldn't act. The little promo from Paige at the end of it was interesting. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that all sort of plays out and stuff like that.
Cool. What about you, Kiwi? What are your thoughts on this match?
Again, like Kai, it was just a very serviceable six diva tag match, nothing much, but it just looked odd with Charlotte and Becky walking away and leaving Paige on her own to deal with them. It doesn't really suit their character, but then again, after what Paige done to them, you don't necessarily blame them, but there you go.
I mean, I think it's a case of what they were saying was, look, you've made your bed, you lie in it, we're out here, we're, you know, better things we could be doing. And that's not necessarily a heel thing to do in the real world, it's just the sensible thing to do under the circumstances. So yeah, it did feel strange, but I think it was done for the right reasons for the longer term.
Most definitely. And okay. Way to keep it going on.
Yeah, absolutely right. And it's obviously got some more legs to go before this one finishes off. So anyway, let's move on to the next match. And obviously you've mentioned this one already, Kiwi. Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho, with Kevin Owens retaining his Intercontinental Championship. And just before you chat about it, every single one of us said Owens was going to win. No surprise.
Yeah, no surprise at all. I mean, as nice as the moment it could be, there is, after Owens just regaining, well, winning the IC title, shall I say, there was no need to take the title off him necessarily, or nope, to, you know, or to anoint Chris Jericho as the tenth IC title reign. So, and they could do that, God knows whenever they want to do it.
Yeah,
there's no rush for it now. It's just Chris Jericho already had his moment with that night being his 25th anniversary. So there is no need for an IC title match. But just the general match was interesting to watch. It was something that we'd never seen before, and it was entertaining.
Yeah, Kai, your thoughts?
Well, when we were talking about this match last week, I didn't know that it was going to be for the Intercontinental title. So when I was saying, like, you know, that it could be up in the air of either one, once you know it's for the title, you're kind of then dead sure that Kevin Owens is going to win it. But it was a good match. It wasn't as memorable as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a bit... It kind of ended, I went, oh, was that it? But maybe it's one that I need to go back and rewatch.
Yeah, no, I'm going to bring in my one wee issue with this match, and that was the status of Chris Jericho here. When we last saw him on Raw a couple of weeks back, he walked off very much in heel mode. He came into MSG, back straight away, back into face mode, and carried out that whole event as a face. Now, for an event that's been promoted on the network, been promoted on TV, and therefore, surely it makes sense that it fits in with what storylines are going on, especially when you see stuff happening later on in the show that fit neatly and tucked perfectly into storylines that are ongoing. So for him to flip about like that didn't make any sense. That was a bit of an odd one for me.
But it's a house show.
But it's not. It's
we've
not.
Had, we've it's had been this shown argument on the network earlier this week.
It's been shown on the network. It's been promoted on television, on their television programmes. So therefore, folk who watch Raw, SmackDown, are going to be watching this, and then they're going to be seeing that disjointness. If it's a normal house show, granted, you can do whatever you like because it's not being televised. You can have as much fun as you want. But when you're doing something that is being promoted on television, then it should fit. That's all I'm saying. Oh, no response to that.
I'm just,
I don't know what else to say.
Okay. I know that Kiwi's not got much longer, and I think that one could go on all night.
Let's move on to the... Shut up. Let's move on to the Tag Team Championship match. New Day defending against the Dudley Boys. And let's quickly look at the sheet. Myself and Wayne both said Dudley's for the win. Adam, Walker, Kai and Kiwi all said New Day. Now, Dudley's get the win by disqualification, and New Day just continue to prove themselves to be great heels. What were your thoughts on the match, Kai?
I enjoyed it. It's another sort of dodgy ending for the New Day with...
Xavier getting in the way, so obviously that's going to lead to what I hope will be a tables match, and that's why the gimmick's brought in, because it needs a, you know, it needs a finish where it, if Xavier gets in the way, he can't, you know, cost them. And I think it was the right decision and the right way to do it.
Good absolutely booking. Yeah, I liked it, I enjoyed it. And yourself, Q, would you agree with that?
Yeah, completely. Again, it's just cementing how good they are as heels. And after what we saw on Raw, the ball just keeps on rolling for them. And they're working on Kofi's heelness a lot more now. And it showed at the MSG show and sort of like last Monday night on Raw. So, yeah, it was serviceable and it worked. And it was great. It was fine. And to be expected to.
Just one wee thing on that for me as well was a nice little touch I noticed on the way to the ring from Kofi Kingston. I think one of the fans must have tapped his arm or something, and he basically said, "Don't touch me, dog." I thought that was a nice little heel touch.
See, he's working on his heel persona.
He is, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Oh, yes. Because he was too facey.
A bit too facey. Yeah, he has kind of obviously found it a bit more difficult to dance.
Yeah. If any of you have watched the Table for Three with the New Day, they talk about that and how Kofi says he just wasn't used to being the heel, and now he's really starting to enjoy it as he's coming to his own with it.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that. Okay, so next up we've got the match that everyone had been looking forward to, Brock Lesnar versus The Big Show. I say looking forward to some more than others. What were your thoughts on this one, Kiwi?
Well, as I said earlier, I thought the show just went really quickly. The match went quickly. And it all of a sudden it was finished. They did what they had to do. They got done and out of there as quickly as possible. The Big Show doing those three choke slams and stuff. Yeah. And it's quite funny what they did on Raw. They got Lesnar to do an overhead belly-to-belly suplex, but I was half expecting them to do that on the MSG show.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. You know, they just did the German suplexes, which, fair enough. But I found that weird.
And I thought the choreography for it, even though it was only a 4 minutes, 5 second long match, I think the choreography actually worked really well. It was entertaining for what it was, but it was done and dusted. They were out of there before you could say boo. I did enjoy the match overall. Kai, what did you think of Lesnar Big Show?
I thought it was booked really well. I think that the shortness of it worked to their advantage, and that it were, you know, the three choke slams was really, really cool. The fact that when Big Show threw Brock Lesnar straight over the ropes, you know, right at the beginning, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to the point where when it finished, I was kind of like, oh, that's a shame, actually. So, in a way, it's kind of like I think if it had dragged on longer, I'd have gone, oh, that was a shit match. But because it ended soon, I think it actually helped the booking in a way.
So, here's the wee thing at the end of that for me was me thinking, you know, is there a little bit of underlying, this is a setup for Hell in a Cell, in a sense of Undertaker, we've had two matches, look what I do to this guy, we're building up to you next, there ain't no getting away from it inside that cell. There's a little bit of that going on.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point of him going up against Big Show is to make, you know, nobody. Me and Walker were taking piss out of you last week because you were saying, do you think that Big Show might beat Brock Lesnar? And of course, that was never going to happen. It is booking him right. They're going to build him up on this tour so that if he does lose at Hell in a Cell, it's not, you know, he's been built up and it's a big win for The Undertaker and it's a really good ending to the tour as well, whatever the match outcome.
Yeah, and in a little moment that shocks absolutely nobody, all six of us picked Brock to win. So there you go. Says it all, really.
Yes, it was to be expected.
And on to the main event tonight. Now, just to be clear here, right, all the matches so far were 9 minutes and under. The main event at least went 20 or nearly 23 minutes. So Cena and Rollins put in a decent match for this United States title inside a steel cage. And for me, one of the better uses of a steel cage in a match in quite some time, Kiwi.
Oh, completely. Every spot was well choreographed. It was well worked. And we all know that Cena and Seth Rollins could put on a fantastic show whenever they want to.
Yeah.
And every time that they do have a match anyway, that they do have a great match. It was a result that we all knew that was going to happen anyway. But and then after the match, we all know that probably Kane would come down and get some retribution. So it worked out lovely, and it was a thoroughly decent match to finish the show. I was expecting possibly Lesnar to finish the show, but he did finish the show. Ha ha, pun intended.
Hey.
But I'm glad that Cena and Rollins got, yes, good stuff.
Excellent. Kai, your thoughts?
I've never been a massive fan of steel cage matches, but saying that, I really, really enjoyed this match. And I think it comes down to the fact that Seth and Cena can have a good match together blindfolded, and the fact that they use the cell, the cage, extremely well. There were a lot of good spots, a lot of throwing him into it, a lot of, you know, trying to climb over and then coming back. Every spot was really, really well choreographed, and I just this was my match of the night. I really, really enjoyed it.
Well, I think for me, one of the stigmatisms of cage matches is it takes someone 27 minutes to climb up a cage, whereas they didn't play that game. They were throwing themselves up there as quickly as they could, getting down as quickly as they could and getting pulled back whenever they tried to get over the other side. They used that side of it a lot better than normally what we get. The psychology overall just really worked effectively from start to finish, and a great, great match by the two of them in terms of the situation being in the cage like that. Much better than a lot of folk anticipated, so well done to both gentlemen in this case. And just to kind of go through the predictions on this one, myself, Walker, Kai and Wayne all said Cena to win. Adam and Kiwi said Rollins to win. Sorry, Kiwi.
I think I initially made those picks when I thought it was going to be for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, but I clearly didn't read the card correctly. I needed to clean my glasses.
Good.
Yeah, reading. He liked book.
But yeah, again, just to say that I thought it was a good, entertaining show, and keep these little surprise little house shows coming because they're entertaining us and it's just extra value for money for our network subscriptions.
Indeed. Keeps us satisfied, hey?
So now, let's go to Sunday night. Let's TNA's Bound for Glory. And, well, what an interesting night that was. It starts with an opening match with no bell and finishes with, well, actually the finish is what happened after the event. But we'll get to that. And a lot of issues coming out of this show, whether it was sound or audio issues, cues not happening. I'm surprised nobody actually practically killed themselves during the event. There were so many things going wrong. Who watched it? Kai, did you watch?
No, and I did say.
Sorry,
I did say last week I wasn't going to.
Yeah, well, you might have changed your mind. Kiwi, did you watch?
The only bits I saw was I skipped through and saw bits of Kurt Angle versus Eric Young, and I skipped towards the entrances and then towards the end of the main event. That's all I saw, sadly. But I have seen all of the results, of course, as you can imagine.
Yeah, so let's just get into it. We're not going to waste too much time on this. We'll pick up on some of the issues as we go through it. First match, open with Tigre Uno defending against Manic. Why is he not called TJ Perkins? I don't know. DJZ and Andrew Everett. Tigre Uno keeping his title. Now, in terms of the predictions on this one, myself said TJ Perkins, aka Manic, would win. I was wrong. Adam and Wayne said DJZ. And actually, Walker, Kai, and Kiwi all said Rockstar Spud, who ended up not being in the match.
Oh.
So nobody was right.
Surprise, surprise. It's just a typical TNA move.
Yeah, serious lack of Rockstar Spud at that event.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, that was a real shame, actually.
Actually quite a good match, being honest. I felt the end was a bit, it'll do, but it was an alright match. I think Andrew Everett was the lucky recipient of Rockstar Spud's place in that match, and whether it worked for him for his career going forward, who knows, time will tell. But let's go on to the next match, the Bound for Gold match. Now, 9 names were originally announced: Abyss, Aiden O'Shea, Chris Melendez, Eli Drake, Jesse Godders, Mahabali Shira, Mr. Anderson, Robbie E, and Tyrus. But as it turned out, we also got the bonus appearances of Al Snow, Tommy Dreamer, and the Pope.
Oh, really?
The Pope was in for all of 5 seconds.
Oh, God, he did a Jerry the King Lawler sort of type of show.
He entered himself into the ring, walked into the ring as he saw Tyrus and Abyss in front of him, stopped, and then just eliminated himself.
Fair enough.
But as it went on, Tyrus won the match. Now, Tyrus is now in for a World Heavyweight Championship match, or as he called it, the World Heavyweight Championship of the World.
Oh, no. Macho Mania.
Great to see those mic skills have been improving.
I mean, Al Snow was looking in pretty good shape for a man at 52-year-old, I believe he is. Tommy Dreamer, yeah, it is what it is. Nobody's all that excited for it, to be honest.
He's a nobody. Yeah. Oh man.
The biggest problem in this match was about six or so of these guys all standing doing the Shearer shake in the middle of the match. Oh.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Find it on YouTube. Oh, dearie me. No need. Just, it was a waste of space for a spot in the match. Anyway, they were trying to do a Royal Rumble with the surprise entrances and all the rest of it. But to me, epic fail. Wasted 24 and a half minutes.
Yeah, too right. Plus, as well, though, why the hell has Tyrus got it and not Abyss? After Abyss cut actually quite a really good promo.
Exactly.
Going out on his own. What?
Hence why four of us, you, myself, Kai, and Adam, all said Abyss for the win. Wayne said Mr. Anderson, and Walker said Chris Melendez. Once again, we're all wrong.
I think that was just... That was just to take rip the shit out of all of us, wasn't it, really?
Quite possibly. That's what we did there. Right, let's just jump on to the next match. Let's not talk about that any longer. We've got the Wolves defending against Brian Myers and Pedo Pete, as Kai calls him. Trevor Lee. One of the better matches of the night, but, you know, that doesn't say very much. It was an alright match. The Wolves defended successfully, but it's worth a watch, but I wouldn't say much more than that. We're not seeing a lot of good stuff about this pay-per-view so far. Let's check who said what on that one. Everybody said the Wolves, so once again, no surprise on that one. Next we go into the Battle of the Bobbies. Bobby Roode versus Bobby Lashley. They were obviously fighting for the King of the Mountain Championship. What in the blue hell is a King of the Mountain Championship anymore? I've got no idea. But
I thought it was the GFW Heavyweight Championship initially. But
no, it was the TV title. It was the Legends title. It's been every title under the sun. It just doesn't have a purpose. It's just a belt for the sake of having a belt. Oh.
Pointless! DRG, I bet you're pulling your hair out. But
honestly, DRG is... even he can't defend the writing team at all in any which way anymore. But Bobby had defended successfully. Lashley came out looking ridiculous. With yellow trunks, a big red band on his arm, and a black headband on.
No, really? Yeah. Can you believe that, Kai?
I
look stupid.
He is just nothing anymore, is he, Lashley? He is just nothing. He had a lot of potential when he first came back into TNA, and he didn't do too badly as the champion, but, you know, after a while, it was just starting to wear thin, and he needed to do something. And since then, he's just sod all. It's just done sod all.
We have that new guy in NXT now. We don't need Lashley.
Yeah, we got Uha Nation. He's much better.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul the Cruz. They did manage to get a plug in for Bobby Lashley's next MMA match, so you know there was something in there for someone. But yeah, let's move along again. So we're going into the women's TNA Knockouts Championship match. Gail Kim defending against Awesome Kong. Now, all of us said Kong for the win. All of us would be wrong. Now, just going into this match, I want to say that there was a strange camera angle kicked in from up on the roof, and it was like a security camera. It was just, everything went kind of grey and really odd. They used it again for EC3's entrance.
That's their budget cuts. They're just cutting into the camera system.
It looked like a mistake. I don't know what it was supposed to be, but it looked like a mistake, and they should never, ever, ever, ever do it again.
No.
Gail Kim's hubby was at ringside as well, being ineffectual.
I did see the glance of it, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, the match itself, I'll be fair, it was okay. They've had better because the two of them have had some stellar matches in the past, but it was fine for what it was. I'm not going to complain too much compared to some of the stuff we've already chatted about. So let's get on to Kurt Angle and Eric Young in a no DQ match, as it turned out to be. Now, in the predictions, myself, Adam, Kai, Wayne said Angle. Now, Kiwi, I'm going to be honest here. I've got no idea who you said, because in the box, instead of saying EY or Angle, I've got an X and a squiggly mark for some reason. I don't know how that happened.
I definitely said Angle. Yeah.
Did you?
Well, it made so much sense for Angle to win this.
It did. And apparently it's his last TNA match.
Yeah, well, good. Good for Angle. Get the hell out of there.
run!
Yeah, run like the wind, Angle.
And you go.
No, I was just going to say, poor old Eric Young, he's in a wilderness again, but Angle deserves to go out and go and do what he wants to do and probably have a bloody good rest and then come back for a WWE Hall of Fame induction, possibly. But the only issue I have here is how tight could Eric Young's trunks be anymore?
To be honest, I wasn't particularly looking, so there you go.
It's quite... No, I'm not going to say it anymore.
Just leave it there. And,
just look wrong.
Stop. Walker predicted EY to win, so Walker was wrong in this case. But there was one particular moment in that match where EY did a huge pile driver on Kurt Angle, which brought in the doctors and medics and all sorts to the ring, saying stop the match for a bit until EY came and beat up all the medical staff.
That was a nice spot. I
don't know. I'm not convinced I was happy seeing Angle in such a neck-involved move after his history of neck issues.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think I've said this on the WIR many times. I have a huge appreciation for the pile driver if it's done correctly, of course. It's just one of those moves that you look like you're actually going to kill somebody.
Was it Punk and Cena where they did one in WWE and it actually came off brilliantly?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. There was a February 2013 before WrestleMania 29.
That's right, yeah. That was absolutely really well done.
We haven't seen one for so many years, everyone just freaked out and it was such a big moment. It's like if we get blood nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, though, at the time they did get their arses kicked for doing it because they weren't supposed to, but still, liked it.
Yeah.
But going back to this one, I just thought it was bad taste for someone who's got such a history of neck issues, but I suppose it does in a way help write Angle off of TV for good, so I see where they're going with it. Now, before we get to the main event, they also were doing the induction of referee Earl Hebner into the Hall of Fame. Now, I'm going to say that I thought this was happening at the event at Bound for Glory itself, but apparently they did it the night before or something on a house show.
What?
Seriously?
They did their Hall of Fame induction at a house show.
I tell you what, guys, right? I don't know how you sat through this 3 hour show or whatever it was, because I'm getting bored just talking about it.
I haven't yet, and I probably won't do, Kai, to be honest.
You were like, so Kai, did you watch the show? I was like, after hearing the reviews of it, do you really think I'm going to watch it?
You won't be surprised to hear that Kata has shit all over it and he hasn't watched a single second of it.
Oh, my God.
And Psycho D was telling me in Group Me last night that's him now done with TNA, especially after what happens after the event. So, let's just get into the main
event. Is DRG still following TNA and everything?
Yes, because he just wants to show support for the talent and not the writers or management.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to hear his thoughts on Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
Let's hope he says something on the WIR.
He will.
Just a quick one on Hebner. At the end of Gail Kim's match with Awesome Kong,
yes,
Hebner was trying to help Gail Kim up after she won the match.
Yes.
And he stumbled all over her. Didn't he? And he looked like a dirty old man because he got his head right in front of her cleavage and got his hands on her backside right in front of her husband. And I thought it was a really cringeworthy, awkward moment that you must see.
Yeah.
It'd be a Botchamania, I bet. Within a week, you'll be on there.
Now, this next and final match of the card, which was for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship, before we did the picks last week, Matt Hardy wasn't even in the match.
No.
So the fact that everybody picked EC3 or Drew Galloway is now technically irrelevant because, obviously, Matt Hardy ends up winning the match. And, The fact that the match was littered with fast counts for everybody, it wasn't exclusively against Matt Hardy or anything, it was everybody was getting fast counts. For me, it didn't gel properly at all. The match, it just didn't come off well in any which way. I just found it hard to watch, but then that may be because my head was already clouded by everything that had come before it. It just, oh God, I thought it was a terrible match. And as Kai alluded to in the news, since then, Matt Hardy has recorded a video saying that he's surrendering the title due to lawsuits, etc., being filed by EC3 against him, and that he's now been banned from TV with the title for a month.
And Dixie Carter, just before we came on air, Dixie Carter announced that they're going to be doing a World Title Series tournament for the title now.
See, that is good, but the way they've gone about it is just completely wrong.
Yes.
Can you imagine
to devalue your title?
If WWE came out of WrestleMania and the next night the person, you know, relinquished the title because the mean man had something bad to say, that would never happen.
That is exactly right, Kai. Couldn't have put it any better. Oh, he's filed an injunction against me. Oh, I'm scared. I can't come on the tapings for the next 4 weeks, in inverted commas. It's just the whole thing is absolutely pathetic.
And just to add into that, during the build-up to that match, there was audio issues. Earlier in the night, Mr. Anderson's mic didn't come down when it was supposed to. Matt Hardy, after winning, brings his son into the ring, and his son's in tears. He's got a crying baby in the ring. It's a great thing to have.
Because he knows that his daddy's losing the title the next day.
I mean, there was just so many stupid things that all went wrong over the course of the night at your biggest event of the year. I'm sorry, but, you know, if WrestleMania is the spectacular, this was the shit-tacular.
Oh, it devalues everybody in that match. Yeah. Devalues Jeff Hardy. It devalues Matt Hardy, obviously. But not only that, it devalues Drew Galloway, who just seems to be now a complete non-entity.
Yeah.
And Ethan Carter III, okay, he's had his first loss. He hasn't been pinned or submitted, but he now just looks slightly even more stupider than what he initially looked like. Now, he's probably one of the only shining lights out of the whole TNA product. But now, you know, it's their main event was Derek Bateman versus Drew McIntyre versus Matt Hardy.
Yeah, ultimately.
Ultimately. And personally, if it was just EC3 versus Drew Galloway for the World Heavyweight title and they strapped Drew Galloway, it would have been a perfect build for Drew to go on and have his back and forth with EC3. Or even if EC3 retained, then Drew
could
start chasing for it up till Christmas and maybe afterwards. But it's just an absolute shame, and they've only got themselves to blame.
I mean, for me, the other thing on this one is they've been building Drew Galloway as the chosen one. Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yes, exactly.
They've been building as the chosen one. If anybody, you know, could really take advantage of that title, it was going to be him, because, you know, Ethan Carter III had that rub for quite a while. Hardy's in his 40s. He's not really got much to gain from having it. I mean, he previously had the ECW title, if I recall correctly. But, you know, other than that, what's he going to go for next? He's never going to win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at this rate. It's too late. Those days have gone. The ship has sailed. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Matt Hardy, it has always and forever will be Jeff's brother. And that's all he is. He's just a fatter version who, to me, doesn't have any charisma. Sorry.
Okay, so enough down talking. Let's talk about something that's a bit more interesting, a bit more exciting, and that's the event that happens later on tonight, NXT TakeOver Respect. Now, obviously, there's 6 matches in the card so far. Kai, are you looking forward to this?
Yeah, I am. I'm really looking forward to the main event. I love the fact that they're pushing it, that this is the first sort of pay-per-view that's been headlined by 2 females, and I really think that's a really great thing, you know, with this Divas Revolution going on, and these two can put on an amazing match.
Yeah, absolutely right. And also we've got the climax to the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Tournament, Kiwi.
Yeah, exactly. And I've really been enjoying this. I mean, it's obviously a little bit weird having some of those matches in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Tournament be on house shows and then they're just filling us in with the results, etc. It's almost channeling a little bit like the classic WCW when they would have the Cruiserweight Tournament to the inaugural Cruiserweight champion, and they said that these matches took place here and there, and then there's no there's no bracket or anything, but at least we get to see a bracket in this.
Absolutely, and this is showing some of the footage on TV as well, so we've had little bits of highlights of some of those other matches that happened.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and it's been incredibly enjoyable, and I'm really looking forward to its conclusion. Yeah. Obviously, we get to see the debut of Asuka. Of course. Oh, yeah, that's it. And I don't know Japanese. And obviously the Iron Woman match, which is obviously just going to be epic.
Absolutely. And let's waste no more time on this then. Let's just get straight into it. And the first match on the card is Finn Balor and Samoa Joe versus the Mechanic Scott Dawson Dash Wilder. The first of the semi-finals in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Tournament, Kai. What are your thoughts on this match and who is going to win?
I'm going to go with Finn and Samoa Joe.
Okay, and do you think it's going to be a great match or is it going to be, you know, one to get us through?
I think it's going to be a good match. I can't see a bad match happening, you know. It's one of those things that I think is going to be serviceable.
Yeah, I think so as well. Let's jump to you, Kiwi, on this. Your thoughts on the match?
Well, I'm not expecting anything special necessarily. I mean, I do like Dash and Scott. They work really quite well together anyway as a tag team. Mm-hmm. But I do think that Finn and Samoa Joe are going to go on to the finals. So... yes, that's what I think. It'll be all right. It'll be fine.
Okay. I also think that Finn and Samoa Joe are going to go through to the final as well. Unlike Wayne, who is backing the Mechanics, Dawson and Wilder.
Oh,
so I've yet to get Walker and Adam's comments on these. So I'll get those hopefully before the show happens later tonight.
Okay.
So let's go into the other semi-final queue. You've got Jason Jordan and Chad Gable.
Yeah.
Versus Baron Corbin and Rhino.
Ooh,
are you ready, Willing and Gable?
Oh, yes. Oh, they're gorgeous, aren't they, those two? Oh, nice thighs. Yeah, I really like Jason Jordan. he favorited a tweet of mine where I said he was really hot, and I think I posted a photo of a camera angle in a certain area, and he favorited it.
You're such a sleaze.
Oh, it's full of sleaze, yeah. But I've got to show him appreciation at this. Some lonely gay guy in the south of England, you know, thinking of him. But but no, I think that Jason and Chad are going to get the win here and pull the upset, and probably end up pinning Rhino or something. Because as Baron and Corbin and Rhino get on quite well. And it would be quite interesting to see them with Finn and Samoa. I just feel like Jason and Chad have got the wind behind them now. This is Jason Jordan's opportunity because he was on the first episode of NXT to actually do something in a prominent place. So I'd say that Jason and Chad are for the win here.
Cool. Now, Kai, what are your thoughts on this one? Are you interested in Jordan and Gable's thighs?
Not in the same way that Kiwi is. I'm going to completely disagree with Kiwi on so many levels. but no, I am going to disagree with his match prediction there. I'm going to go with Baron Corbin and Rhino.
Oh, well, I'm also going with Gable and Jordan on this one as well. I just think the way they've been getting built in this, there's more for them again, and I see Baron Corbin needs to go back to singles competition soon rather than being stuck in the tag team realms because he's not going to do very much there over the long term, I don't think. So now, this is where it gets a bit interesting as to who's going to say who's going to win this because we've obviously got different thoughts as to who's going to be in the final. Now, I'm going to tell you straight away that Wayne's got Gable and Jordan winning this outright and taking home the classic trophy. Kai, Is it going to be Balor and Joe, or is it going to be Corbin and Rhino for you?
I'm going to go with Balor and Joe because I think this is going to lead into some sort of main event feud, you know, leading up in the next few months. So I'm going to go with Balor and Joe winning it.
Okay, and what about you, Kiwi? You've got Gable and Jordan and Balor and Joe, so who are you backing to win it outright?
Like Wayne, which is probably a kiss of death, I'm going... Bless him, I love you, Wayne. For Jason and Chad to...
Let's remember, Wayne has got a good reputation for getting these right, so
he does.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm going with Gable and Jordan because, actually, I think Kai is right. There's something going to happen with Balor and Joe with the actual NXT title. However, I think it's going to be because of something that happens in this match that causes them to lose. So,
yes, I agree.
That's exactly what I'm going with this one. So let's move on. We've got Apollo Crews, the former UHA Nation, versus Tyler Breeze. Kiwi, who are your eyes on for this one? I should rephrase that question to you.
Well, I've never had black before, but...
God.
So I must choose. No, I'm sorry. I'll pick Apollo Crews. Again, he's got the wind beneath his thighs, and he's going to thrust himself upon another win and upon Tyler Breeze's cute beak. So, yes, Apollo Crews for sure.
Yeah, and obviously, Wayne's gone for Crews as well. Kai, are you also?
Yeah, I'm going with Crews. He's been built up, and this is the perfect way to do it.
Yeah, well, it's no secret that I don't think there's any big future for Breeze at this point in time based on where he's at, so I'm also backing Crews.
Such a shame, though, right? Do you think?
Yeah, I just think the character just is lacking something. It's just not got the legs, and I don't know if it's also just because of the way he carries himself generally through a match as well. So I think he's got something, it's just not coming through properly at the moment.
No, I just wish he would do like what myself and Ant have been saying for ages, is pair him up with The Miz as his stylist. I think that would... And they could work as a tag team, really.
Yeah. But,
you know, give The Miz something to do.
That might work, absolutely right. Right, okay, so let's move on to the debut of Asuka versus Dana Brooke, who's got herself quite well established over recent weeks as probably the alpha female heel as it stands among the women's division. Who's going to win this one? Is it obvious that Asuka's going to win her debut, Kiwi?
This is a difficult one, and probably the most difficult out of the whole card. Because Dana seems to be on a slight roll, you know. Yep. She's really increasing her heel status, and what a good way it would be to overtake Asuka, or Asuka, as you say. I'll say Asuka, Osaka, whatever her name is. For this.
How many different ways can you say five letters?
I don't know. I've never been to Japan, sorry.
And on to you, Kai. And obviously, there's the possibility that Emma gets involved in this match as well. Who are you backing?
I'm backing the lady that Kiwi can't pronounce, and I'm not even going to try to.
Asuka. It's easy.
Osaka.
It's Asuka.
Asuka. All right,
Asuka. Imagine there's no U in there.
Well, there is a U in there. So it's
but imagine there's no U in there.
I think they've built Dana up to knock her down, and that's what's going to happen here.
Right, so Asuka for the win.
She could take a loss as well.
Do you know what? Part of me wants to go for Dana Brooke, especially because of the potential heel involvement for Emma, but that could be the very reason they lose, is because of the intervention from Emma. Oh, decision. I'm going to break the part. I'm going to go for Dana Brooke just on the off chance I could get a sneaky.
This is the Stardust Stephen Amell thing all over.
It is. It's right there.
Well said, Kai.
Believe what you like. Anyway, sometimes you have to go on a different route. And I'm doing that this time. Let's go into the NXT Women's Championship match. As we've already gone into a little bit, we're all looking forward to this 30-minute Iron Man match between Bayley and Sasha Banks. I'm going to put it down on the card right now, straight away, that I'm backing Bayley. I just don't see her losing the title to Sasha Banks at this stage with Sasha's position with Team Bad on the main roster. As simple as that. Wayne is also going for Bayley. Kiwi.
I'm also going for Bayley too. again, there's no need for Bayley to lose the title right now. No. She's got the wind beneath her wings. Oh, and I think she's doing wonders anyway with the women's title. I mean, we haven't seen so much of her recently, but no, I'm really looking forward to this match, as I think we all are, and it's going to be a stellar match.
I mean, ultimately, the way this match is going to be, we're all predicting it's going to be really good. So technically, even if Bayley or Sasha lose this match, there's technically no losing, because both will shine all over the place in this one, Kai.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what Sasha is doing here, she's doing what Kevin Owens did in Brooklyn. She's coming back to do one final job in NXT before she is... you know, going off to bigger things. Well, they say bigger things, but let's hope bigger things on the main roster.
So you're saying Bayley to win too?
Yep.
And I think for most of us, we're going to be saying pretty much that should be the match of the night. Would you agree?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Really looking forward to that. It'll be tomorrow before I watch it. I'm not going to stay up that late at night, especially with two little children at home. I'm not getting enough sleep as it is. So I'll watch that one tomorrow. I'm looking forward to watching that after work. I'll be getting home nice and sharp tomorrow night after a couple of late evenings here this week. But that's NXT TakeOver Respect. So yeah, can't wait to watch that one tomorrow. So, before we start rounding off the show, Kiwi, do you have any final thoughts for us for this week? Anything you want to bring up that we haven't already chatted about?
No, not really. I've been really happy with the WWE product recently. Again, they just seem to be improving as the days and the weeks go by. It's quite nice to see Natalia on Raw actually get that win. And she's had this WWE.com interview on the YouTube channel as well, where Michael Cole sits down with Why Paige is a Hypocrite is the title of the story. So I'm really interested to see how that goes. And that's it, really. Other than that, Adam Rose's cryptic message as well is probably going to come into more prominence, maybe on Raw at some point soon. So yeah, that's about it. But thank you.
Cool, no problem. Kai?
I've got nothing else to add. I've got to echo Kiwi there and say that I'm happy with the product at the moment. You know, it's been a very good week. You know, I was so happy when CM Punk sent that tweet earlier yesterday or Monday or whenever it was, because it gave me someone to call a dick this week. Because other than that, everyone else was great.
Ah, it's good to know that your week's fulfilled as long as you find someone to call a dick.
Yep. I'm turning into Adam Hills the more and more these weeks go on.
There's nothing wrong with dicks, guys. Can I just say? You've got two. Well, I hope you got one each, but you know.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. We've got this, right. We've got that one covered. That. Tick the box. Let's move on. I did touch on something you mentioned before, Kai. The Table for Freeze is something I've been watching this last week. I've kind of watched all four that are out there so far. One that I found actually more interesting, particularly because the personalities involved, was the women's one with, I've just gone blank on Alinda Blaze,
Molly Holly,
Molly Holly, and Ivory. Ivory particularly surprised me because I didn't think she was friendly with the WWE anymore.
I didn't know Molly Holly was either, but no spoilers because I'm going to watch this one tonight.
No, it was an interesting combination of three personalities. A lot of, oh, you're brilliant, oh, you're fantastic, oh, I loved you. It's a bit too much of that. But generally,
it's cool that they're bringing in people that we don't really expect them to. You know, it's not the generic, they're not bringing up Ed DiBiase's and the, you know, who else was they used to always drag, you know, Dusty Rhodes when he was alive, you know, they dragging out these people all the time. It's good to see some fresh new old faces.
It's funny because the first episode had Roddy Piper, so technically he was on from Beyond the Grave.
That was a very good episode as well.
It was good. I don't think there's been a bad episode yet. I've enjoyed all four. I've seen Kiwi. Have you seen any of them?
No, I haven't.
They're only 20 odd minutes long, so they're quite easy to get through.
Do you know, I would definitely do. I'm really behind on various things on the network, really, like NXT, for example.
Same here.
It's really weird. Sorry,
you just reminded me of the other thing that I watched, which was the SummerSlam NXT panel that they put on last week.
Oh.
It was recorded just before NXT Brooklyn. And it was just really interesting chat with Triple H on there. Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Sasha Banks.
They showed a bit of this during the WWE 24 NXT special that they did, that they aired on Monday night, which is also really, really good. So I suggest you guys check that out. I'm only about 40 minutes into it at the moment.
I might do that tonight. Anyway, so yeah, some good stuff on the network, well worth watching. I'm looking forward to seeing what they pull out the bag next. Some good TV for us to get caught up in. But that's where we're going to leave it for this week. Kai, say your goodbyes and tell everybody where we can find you.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at HWYR, and you can find my new, yes, it's nothing like the old one, but it's kind of like the old one radio show, Squabble Box, on 107.3 Siren FM over here in the UK, or you can find us online at sirenonline.co.uk. We're going to be airing on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. Starting on Monday the 19th of October, and I'm so glad I remembered all that without looking at a piece of paper. So that'd be great if you can all check that out when it comes out. I'll give you more reminders on Twitter and stuff like that.
Cool. Good to hear. And Kiwi.
Oh, thank you. You can follow me on Twitter at KiwiTuts, KiwiTuts. Also, as well, you can download my Eurovision Showcase show and my once a month podcast at the moment, anyway, Tuts Experience. And also, special announcement on Saturday afternoon, 5 p.m. British time, I shall make a debut. It's not going to be a regular thing at the moment, but I am hosting a Saturday warm-up show to your Saturday nights out. So I'm going to be on Express FM in Portsmouth. It's Portsmouth's premier radio station down here, Express FM. So you can find that at expressfm.com. That's 5 p.m. on Saturday night. Thank you very much.
Sick. You two have your radio shows.
Yeah, well, we're getting out there, aren't we, Kai? We're going out on the game almost.
Whoa, let's not take it that far. That's just going too far with these. So anyway, thank you for those, Kiwi, and obviously keep us posted on how that's going as well, so we could hear more about it. And if anyone wants to find me, you can find me on Twitter at LivingLegend148, and you can probably find me very soon also on the DSJMP Twitter account, because I'll be taking over that because I don't have enough Twitter accounts to manage so far. I've got a lot to do, get my head around it over the next few weeks with the DSJMP world to make sure that I know what's happening and when it's happening. So I've got my work cut out for me rather out of nowhere, because I didn't know the offer was coming when it hit me last week. So it's been a very busy week. To say the least. Kai and I also recorded a pilot show that we hope to be debuting at some point in the next few weeks as well last night. We're going to hold off on it just now, but we'll be giving you more details on that when we're ready to, he says a little bit teasingly, but for now.
Can we just say before we go, yes, thanks to Devil Vamp for everything that he's done on the DSJMP. Wish him well in his future endeavours. I've always wanted to say that. Yeah.
I get to do that properly.
Indeed, yeah. Leader.
Yeah, I actually have to say a particularly big thank you to Anne and Vamp, who have been dealing with everything. They've been made it smooth and straightforward as they possibly could, and made it really easy for to get this all moving as well. So I feel very happy with the way things are going, and I'm looking forward to taking over the helm at the 1st of November. No emails this week on the show, you'll have noticed. Please send in emails for next week. Send them secondshiftpod@gmail.com. We're looking forward to hearing what you guys have got to say. Also, if you've got any thoughts on the show this week, anything we've said, please hit us up on Twitter, secondshiftpod, @secondshiftpod, I should say. But that's all for this week. All that leaves for me to say is the living legend has now left the building.